Erev in Tzari Zayin.
So I'm just going to read that very quickly again. V'hashta de Tani Avu de Shmuel Barav Yitzchok, Nala Ravu Avu Yitzchok Tzoros Elehen Yishanois. How do you define old tefillin? Kol sheyesh behen ritzuos, if they have the straps and mukasharos and they're knotted on. Chadosh sheyesh behen ritzuos, and new ones are defined as they also have the straps and mukasharos, but they're just not tied. So that means that they're definitely are tefillin. Dekulei amaloi tarachanish. So that means that everybody agrees. Nobody would bother to make something that looks exactly like tefillin if it's not tefillin. And the machlokes over here is simply whether or not you can wear one, whether you can make the knot on Shabbos. So if so, the Gemara asks the Lavinu. So just make a bow instead of a knot, which is not usher on Shabbos. I'm Rav Chisda says, Rav Chisda says, from this we learn, and even psula b'tfilin, that making a bow doesn't work on tfilin. You have to make a knot, and that's why you can't make a knot with new tfilin, because it's an issa d'araisa. Abaya Omar, Rav Yehuda l'taymei, it's really, this is only according to Rav Yehuda d'Omar, Nivak Shirim al Yosihi, that he says that making a bow is the same thing as making a knot. So you don't accomplish anything by making the bow, because it's just as usher. And that's why when you're dealing with new tefillin that the knots are not made yet, it's still going to be usher. Now the Gemara says taimo da aniv da aniv kshirim al yosahi. So he's saying the only reason why I can't make a bow is because a bow is the same thing as a knot. Halav achi aniv lahu, but otherwise you would allow us to make a bow. In other words, during the week a bow would work. V'amar Rav Yehuda berei de Rav Shmuel bar Shilas. Rav Yehuda taught us mishmei de Rav in the name of Rav kesher shel tefillin halach l'mosh misinaihu. The knot and how to make tefillin are exactly halach l'mosh misinaihu. So you can't just change it and put on, you know, make bows instead of knots and do whatever you want. It has to be exactly as the halacha l'moshe Messina was given to us. Bamar Rav Nachman, the Nahavin and Labar. And he says one other aspect of it is that the knots, because the purpose of the knots is they spell out the name of Hashem Shakai, so the Shin, Dalet, and Yud. And part of it is also on Yitzvillin Shal Roish, that the Shin on the left and the right is three-pronged or a four-pronged Shin, but the point is, the Nahavin and Labar, they have to be showing on the outside. So what was the havamin over here that you can make a bow instead of a knot? The Gemara answers, the Anavlu Kank Shira did who? Yanachanami, you're not just going to make a bow however you feel like it. You're going to make the bow in the same, it's going to come out in the same fashion as the knot. It's just going to be a slip knot instead of a regular knot. But it'll still have to be in the same shape. In any event, that was the havamin. But Lamaskana, we say that a bow, that you can't make a bow according to Rabbi Huda anyway on Shabbos. Amarav Chista, Amarav, Halakech Tzilin. Okay, the new halacha about Tzilin. Halakech Tzilin, and Misha Eina Mumcho. So now let's say I'm buying a pair of Tzilin on the street, and I don't know whether or not these were made properly. So, and I'm buying numerous pairs of Tzilin from a retailer. So, Boydik Shtayim Shel Yad, I check two of the Shel Yad, Vacha Shel Reish, and one of the Shel Reish. Or just the opposite, Shtayim Shel Reish, or two of the Shel Reish, Vacha Shel Yad, and one of the Shel Yad. And once I check those three, that combination of three, then I know, oh, the pairs of tefillin that he's selling me are probably kosher, and I can rely on them. So the Gemara says, Manashach, how are you checking over here? Imichad gav kozavin, if all the tefillin are coming from one person, in other words, just a question of whether the person who made the tefillin in the first place knew what he was doing, livdok oishal l'shal yad oishal l'shal reish. So just check three shal yads or three shal reish. Why do you have to do the combination? Because once you know, the guy knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And if the suspicion over here is you have to check threes because you don't know, or you have to check the various ones because it's possible that the merchant bought it from various people, so checking one doesn't prove anything. So then how does checking three help you? You should have to check every single pair individually, because you never, just because one pair is good, that doesn't prove anything about the other pairs. So the Gemara answers, really you have to say the case that he bought it from one person. But you have to prove that he knows what he's doing with shal yad and shal rosh, because they're two different malachas. They're two different types of work that are involved over here. So you have to know that he knows how to do both, and that's why you have to check a little of the shal yad and a little shal rosh, and you have to have a combination of three, because that creates a chazaka. So eini v'hatani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, but Rabbi Bar Shmuel taught us, but tefillin b'edik shal yad, the shal rosh, you only check three. And my lab, Oishalah Shal Yad, Oishalah Shal Reish. You only have to check either three of the Shal Yads or three of the Shal Reishes, and you don't have to check one of each. So the Gemara says, Oishalah Mehen Shal Yad, you have to check three altogether. Mehen Shal Yad, it has to have at least one of them. Some of them are Shal Yad, Mehen Shal Reish, and some of them have to be Shal Reish. I don't care whether it's two of this and one of the other, but the point is you have to have three and you have to be checking both. But Tani Rav Kahana B'Tfilin Boydik Shtayim, Shal Yad, the Shal Reish. But he learned that you only have to check two, and one Shal Yad and one Shal Reish, and you don't have to check more than two. The Gemara says, "Hamani Rebbe, that's according to Rebbe Shita, that in general in Shas he holds that you can make a chazaka with two times. The Omer betrays him, you have a chazaka that after two times you already have a chazaka. The context that Rebbe actually says this is if a woman gets married and her husband dies, And if she does this a number of times, we say she's not allowed to get married again because her husband always dies, and that's not a good thing. So we hold three times. After three marriages, it's a problem. But Rebbe says after two times, there's a raya that this person may be, this woman is no good. But the point is that Rebbe holds after two times you have a chazaka. So Gemara says, E Rebbe, Emosefa. If you're following Rebbe Shita, then why? Then after two times should be enough. But we have another case. V'chein b'tzeves hasheni. It says that you have to check the second pile. V'chein b'tzeves hashlishi. You have to check a third pile. Now, E Rebbe shlishi miyisla. Miyisle. Why does Rebbe hold that you have to check the third pile? If, according to Rebbe, you made a chazaka after two. The answer is Moed Rebbe b'tzvasayim. When you're dealing with piles, Rebbe also agrees mitrei tzvas agaves oven. Over there, you have to really suspect that, in fact, it came from two or three different people, and that's why you have to check each pile. So if it's a different person, then the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and so on should also need to check because it came from a different person. My answer is, you're right, Tanachanami. So why did it only list the third and not further? To tell us not like Chizkia that says that you only have to check two times. But we really hold that since there's a suspicion over here, there's a possibility that they came from different people, and you have to check each and every pile separately till you prove that each pile has good tefillin in it. Now, how many tefillin within the pile you have to check, that's going to be the Machlokes Rebbe and everybody else. Rebbe says two, and everybody else is going to say you need three. Okay, the next line in the mission was Mosn Svasayim Akrichus, if you find them either tied up together, either piled up or tied up. So Mai Svasayim and Mai Krichus, what's the difference between piled up or tied up? Rabbi Yehuda, Amarav, Hain, Svasayim, Hain, Krichus. It's really, the point is the same thing. They're all tied together. The difference is only a small difference. Svasayim, Zuzi, that when they're piled up, it means that they're paired in pairs of two, that they're combined, but the pair of tefillin is tied together. Krichus, the Krichen Tuva. Krichus means when you have a whole bundle, it means a whole bunch of them. It's not a number necessarily. Are all bundled together. But either way, you can't separate them on Shabbos, so you have to wait till after Shabbos to bring them in, and because they're tied together. Either a combination of two or a multiple combination are tied together. So the next line in the Mishnah was Machshech Aleihem Avein. So in that case, you have to wait there till at night, and then you bring them at night. Va'amai. So the Gemara says, why do you have to wait till night? Lailinu zigzug. Why don't you bring them so they're tied together, but bring them in one pair at a time? So why do you have to wait till at night? Amar Rav Yitzchok v'Reza Rav Yehuda v'Zidim Mefarshe Leminei D'Abba. It was explained to me in the name of Abba. Kol she'ilu machnisim zugzug. The kalo is kodem shkiyah zechama. If I would in fact bring them in one pair at a time, and I'd end up finishing my task before Shabbos is over, so then anachanam machnisim zugzug. So you're right. The thing to do would be to bring them in one pair at a time, and I'll finish. V'iloi. But the point over here is that there are so many pair of tefillin, or there's not enough time to bring in all the tefillin, so then I'm anyway going to be there at night. So then the better thing is, if I'm going to have to go after Shabbos anyway, so then I might as well wait for the whole pile over here to wait till after Shabbos. Now, it doesn't make sense for me to carry some of them in on Shabbos and then still have to do it after Shabbos anyway. If this will save you from going out Matzah Shabbos, so then you can take care of it now. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Now, the next case in the Mishnah is of Ubasakana. When this is Sakana, we'll see what the Sakana is in 1 second. Mechasen v'hoilech. So then you just cover them over and you leave them, and then you'll come back later. But you don't have to, you can't carry them now. So, now what is the sakana? Batani, we learned in a braisa, the sakana, moilichin, pachas, pachas, me'aba amis. Our Mishnah says you cover them and leave them. But we have another braisa that says, the sakana is that you can't leave them, you have to carry them, but you can't carry it, so you do it for dalet amis at a time, less than dalet amis at a time. So what's the case? Amarav, so there's two girsas in Rashi over here, we'll stick to the lashon of the Gemara. Amarav, loy kasha, haba sakanas nachri, haba sakanas listen. It depends what your sakana is. There's different types of sakana. If the case is that you're afraid that a goyim are going to find it, so then if you leave it there, the goyim are going to find it, they're going to destroy it, so you have to take it in. But if it's listim, Rashi in the first girsa holds that the listim over here are Jewish robbers, they would normally want to take your money, but tefillin they're not going to take from you. So therefore, in that case, you could just leave it, or actually, in this case, you could take it. You could a guy, you're afraid that if he finds you with it, he's going to destroy it, so you just hide it. But by a Yiddish listen, so then you could take it because we're not afraid that he's going to do any damage to it. So now comes the tricky part, because the gear is a little messed up. on top of Amabez, Amalei Abaya, Bemaya Kimtel, Masnisin, Besakon, Sevigulim. So what do we say? Our case of a Mishnah was that he says to cover it, we're talking about Goyim, right? Because the fear was that if the Goy catches you wearing it, then he's gonna get you in trouble and he's gonna destroy it. So that's why you cover it over. So Ema Seifa, but what was the end of the Mishnah? The end of the Mishnah was Rav Shimon Oymer Noisin Lechaver Bechaver Lechaver. You give it to your friend because you don't want to carry it Dal Rama, so you give it to your friend and his friend, and so each one less than Dal Rama. So Kosher came to Avshe Milsa. The point was you're trying to hide from the Goyim. So then, if you have, you're making a whole chain reaction over here. Of course, it's going to be a big deal. Everybody's going to notice it. So you say Chasuri Mechzer of Ahachi Kitani. So there's missing a couple of words over here, and this is how you have to read the Mishnah. When do we say that we cover it because we're afraid to make a big deal? That's when the Goyim are on the loose, so you just cover it and nobody will notice it. That's according to the scarce of Rashi. Ava b'sakonas listen, but if it's listen, the robbers are going to take it from you, but so you could carry it, but you just don't want to be there. So malichim pachas bachas v'dal ramas. In other words, you don't want to have to go back at night when it's dangerous. So then you want to take care of it now. So then the Eitzah is to carry it Dalad Pachas Pachas Midalad Amis. The other Gerasa in Rashi flips this around and says that the difference is that you can carry it by a guy because you could hide it better. So you flip around that it's by listim other ones that you do Pachas Pachas Midalad Amis because you could hide it without them noticing it. But the listim are the ones that are dangerous, so then you have to leave it over there because if they catch you with it they're gonna destroy it. Okay. Zog the Gemara Baiter. Rav Shimon Oymer, the next case in the Mishnah was Noisim Lechaver, and you give it to your friend, and your friend. So there's a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon, how the better way to do it. Is it better for you to walk, two steps at a time and then rest, or is it better to give it to your friend and create a chain? So, but my kamiflugi, what do they argue about? Masav apachas me'arba amos odif. The problem over here is there's the potential that you're going to be mechal Shabbos. So, which way avoids the chil Shabbos better? So the Tanakhama says, "Pachas me'arba amos odif." Then going less than Dal Ramas is a better way. Is less of a chil Shabbos. The iamis noisim lechaver, vechaver lechaver. Because if you're going to start making your friend and then his friend, Avshar milsa to Shabbos, it's more of a desecration of Shabbos. More people are involved. It's not appropriate. That's the Tanakhama's far. Umar Savan, Rav Shimon says, "Noisim lechaver odif." It's better to give it to your friend. Why? The iamis me'lichem pachas me'arba amos. Because if you're going to do it yourself, carrying it each time less than Dal Ramas. Because the problem is that you're not going to be so perfect and precise. And you're not going to realize. And then you're going to end up walking Dalad Amos and Rosh Hashanah, which is an Issa Daraisa. So there's the potential for being over an Issa Daraisa is much greater if you allow the same person to do it as opposed to giving it off to his friend. The Mele Rav Shimon says it's better to give it to your friend. That's the Machlokes. The case of the Mishnah then continues. If you have a child, you're able to carry. You're able to give it to your friend and carry it back into town. So b'nai my boy, what's the child doing over here? Meaning, if the child was able to walk there in the first place, let the child walk his way back. Why are you carrying it? So the Gemara answers, Zvei Menashe Tana, in the Yeshiva of Menashe, they learned that she aldosa ima besada, that the mother gave birth to the child in the field. So now, the baby obviously is not going to walk, so you have to carry it. Umaya filo hein mea, so what's the point of saying, even if 100 people, you should carry it with 100 people? The kasha la yoda, even though, because for a newborn, for a baby, it's not so good to be transferred from one person to the next. Even so, this is the better etza that you should again transfer from one person to the next, as opposed to carrying it yourself. But the point is that obviously the baby's not going to walk himself, so he has to be transported back into town. Okay, now the last case of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda Omer Noisin Adam Chabis. It says that you can give a barrel full of water to your friend and he can carry it to his own friend, and as long as the end of the Mishnah was as long as it doesn't leave the, well, Rabbi Yehuda says you could go even outside the Tchum, and the Tanakhama says back, what are you talking about? You cannot take the water outside of the Tchum. That's the Machloikis in the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't learn what we learned in the Mishnah, Habahema v'hakelim karaglei habaylim, that your objects that you own have the same tchum as the owner. The animals in your kelim are not allowed to go any further than you. The owner of the kelim is allowed to take them. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that you're allowed to carry the water even further? Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Levi Sabo, because Reish Lakish learns in the name of the older lady, that you're not transporting the barrel, because the barrel obviously has limitations. but rather you're pouring the water from one barrel to the next barrel, so it's in a new barrel, and that's why it's allowed to go a little bit further. Rabbi Yehuda l'taimei, now why is that mutter just because you put it into a new barrel? Because Rabbi Yehuda is following his own shita. Omar, mayim ein behem mamish, because he knows that water is not really a real substance that has to be measured. So mamela, yes, it's true, the barrel I can't take out because the barrel has limitations, but the water, it doesn't really matter how far the water goes. Where do we see that? It's not Rabbi Yehuda poitzer b'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says by water there's no limitation how far it's going to go. Mepnesha ein behem mamish, because it doesn't have real substance to be measured. What does it mean that you shouldn't carry it? It doesn't mean that you can't carry the barrel further, because you clearly cannot carry the barrel any further than the owners can. But what it meant what it said is, so the Tanakhama is arguing is lo yahalich masha bezu yosim iragle abayim. And the Tanakhama's retort is no. You cannot even carry what's in the barrel, meaning the water. You think the water has no measurement and no substance. Not true. Even the water inside the barrel cannot go further than where the owner of the water is allowed to go. So the Gemara said, because it's all based on Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that again, water doesn't count. So Gemara says, but even Rabbi Yehuda is not quite that extreme. Amid the Shamas Leila Rabbi Yehuda, where did we hear that Rabbi Yehuda said it doesn't count? Teicha the Balam be'isa. That's only talking about where you have water that's absorbed into a dose. So Mamela, the water may have come, you know, one person has the flour, one person has the water. The water may have come from somebody else's house. So we say you don't take that into consideration because it's in the dough. The water doesn't really count. But did Rabbi Yehuda ever say that literally a bucket of water where all itself is the water, that the water has no limitations? Hashta b'kadeira amar Rabbi Yehuda loy batli b'enayu batli, in a plate. Rabbi Yehuda says that the water is, Rabbi Yehuda would never say that the water is non-existent, that the water itself counts. So certainly when you're carrying just the water, it should count and it should be measured like everything else. It's a substance in and of itself. I understand that it becomes absorbed and becomes, you don't notice it when it's absorbed into something else. But when it's in its own, and its own feature, of course it should be measured. Now where do we see that he holds that in a plate it counts? The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, because Rabbi Yehuda himself says, Mayim u'melach, by water and salt, the talim be'isa. We agree that when you're dealing with a dough, they become bottle and they don't have their own measurements. Ve'en b'talim b'kadeira. The mipnei roitva. But in their own pot, they count because they make things wet and hukshur, they for tumma purposes. But the point is, they don't become bottle in the pot. This is talking about how far you're allowed to carry the keli. So you don't say that the keli can go any further than the water itself. But so the point is that we see clearly that that there is a limitation even on the water. So even pouring it into another barrel shouldn't allow Rabbi Yehuda to take it out of its tum. So that teretz, the teretz to just come out and say that, oh, it's water, it doesn't matter, is not really true across the board. Ela amar rova hacha b'chavah shekansa shvisa. Here we're talking about, right, the issue here is that the barrel has a shvisa, has a place, meaning I own the barrel Erev Shabbos, it has a place, and therefore the barrel cannot be taken too far. Umayim shalai kana shvisa askinan. And here the case is that the water didn't have shvisa Erev Shabbos. In other words, let's say the water originated in a moving stream. And we learned earlier in the Masechta that moving water doesn't have a shvisa, doesn't have a tchum. So therefore, this water taka doesn't have a limitation on Shabbos. Now, what happens is not only that, but now that the water that doesn't have a tchum is in the barrel, what's more important, the barrel or the water? Well, in this case, let's just say it's a cheap barrel. The water is more important. So the pot lachavas the gabe mayim, the water itself, the barrel becomes bottled to the mayim, because you measure the tchum of the more. When you have two things, you measure the tchum of the more important thing. Kiddushan, like we learned in the Mishnah earlier, in Shabbos. If you carry a live person on a bed, and we hold chai noisei esatzmai, we don't hold this lahalacha, but the Gemara held chai noisei esatzmai, that the person's carrying himself, so it's not deemed to be carrying. So the bed itself, which is just carrying the person, is bottled to the person, so there's no isser of carrying. Because it becomes a tuffle, it becomes secondary to the person. And so similarly, so too, if I carry, you're not allowed to carry food, but if the food itself is less than the shear, so there is no iser, the kli potter afala kli. And you say that the kli, the object that's the cup that's holding the food also doesn't count. Mifnesha kli tafalai, because it becomes secondary to it, it becomes bottled to it. So too over here also, you could say that the water, this case over here has to be right. The barrel in and of itself could be a problem. The water in and of itself could be a problem. But here the case is that the water is such that it is, that the water didn't have a shvi. So let's say it came from a well, a stream or something like that. And then the bus, and then the kli became bustled to the water, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda said, you're allowed to carry it outside the tchum. Okay, so that's the pshat in the Gemara. So most of Rabbi Yosef, So Rabbi Yosef asked a question. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer b'shiyara. Noisen adam chavis l'chaver v'chaver l'chaver. So Rabbi Yehuda, even when he gave this heterim that you're allowed to carry from one, you're allowed to give the barrel from one person to another person, he only said it if you're traveling, you're in a caravan. So as part of a caravan, there are special kulois, there are special things that we're makel on that we don't allow normally. So we say b'shiyara inshallah b'shiyara loy. It's only talking about if you're traveling in a caravan, not if you're in your house. And supposedly our Mishnah is talking about in your house, and Rabbi Yehuda seems to say it's mutter. So Rabbi Yosef has to say that Pshat in our Mishnah, Kitananam, even Rasis and Bashir Otanan. Okay, so you have to say that our Mishnah also was limited to a case where it's you're in a caravan, and that's where this whole heter of Yehuda that you can travel with it is mutter. But at a Hanami, if you're in your house, the water does have a limitation. The barrels are not allowed to be carried further than your tchum. That's Rabbi Yosef's test. Abaya says Bashir, Afil Chavish Shakansa Shvisa, Umayam Shakansa Shvisa, Shaloi Bashir. Inish, no. It's clear that a caravan has extra kulois, so we're more lenient than we are at home. However, the leniency is a little bit further than what you said. Bishiyara, when you're dealing with a caravan, afilu chavis, shakonta shvitza, even if the barrel had a set place, umayim shakonta shvitza, and even if the water had a set place, it would still be permitted to carry it outside of tchum, because you're in a caravan, we're very lenient. However, the chiddush of our mishnah is shaloi bishiyara, when you're not in a caravan, meaning you're at home, chavis shakonta shvitza. The case has to be where the barrel and a chanami had its own where it had an original place. So you cannot take that barrel out of the tchum. We have to talk about that. I poured my water into your barrel. You know, we transferred it from one barrel to the next. And the case has, and the case is that the water itself, like we said, you drew it out of the stream, and it never had its own shvisa, and that's why it's mutter to go outside of the tchum. So Abaya says, even our Mishnah, even in your house, if the water didn't start with a tchum, you're allowed to take it outside of the tchum. That's Abaya's teretz. Rashi on the third teretz is Hacha b'chavas the hefker askin. And here, till now, we've always assumed that the barrel belonged to somebody, and then the problem was that the barrel was going to be, you couldn't take the barrel outside of the tchum. But rather, if you say the case of our Mishnah is talking about hefker, umayim the hefker askin, and the water belonged to hefker, and therefore it doesn't have a tchum. Uman, okay, fine. Man Amar Loi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And we're going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Amar Chepsei Hefker Koinen Shvisa. So then, who's the respondent in our Mishnah? Who says to Rabbi Yehuda, one second, you can't go out of the Tchum? That's only according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that says water, even if it was Hefker originally and didn't have a Shvisa, once whoever picked it up, if I drew the water out of the stream, now it has my Shvisa. I just created a Shvisa right now. It has my Tchum. So that was Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri's response. What do you mean it can go out of the tchum? It can't. Once I pick it up, it has a shvitza. And what did he mean when he said, oh, it's not allowed to go outside of the bailim? It doesn't have bailim, because remember the case is it's hefker. So he's saying, what he's saying is, it should be no different than any keli that has a bailim. Just like kelim that have a bailim have a limitation, and are given the shvisa of the person, so too this water, even if it started as hefker, or this keli, even if it started as hefker, once the person picks it up, it should take on the qualities and the limitations of the person that picks it up, and it should be bound by a tchum. And that's the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, since it's hefker, this is Rav Ashi's pshat, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, since it's hefker, it has no boundaries, you can do whatever you need. And according to the Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, which is represented as the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, it has the limitation once the person picks it up. Anachanami, it didn't have. You don't know what that limitation is, because if I pick it up as one thing, and if you pick it up as something else, But once it's picked up, it then has the limitation of the person that picked it up, and therefore it's not permitted to go outside the tchum. Zok the next Mishnah, new concept. Hayakaira sefer, the sefer ala skupa. A person is reading a kedusha, a davarsha bekedusha, any kind of sefer or anything that's bekedusha, and you're reading it on the ledge. And the problem is, when a skalgala sefer miyadai, and the sefer unrolled from his hand. Now, in those, Rashi points out, in those days, all the svarim were written like a sefer Torah, that they were rolled up, like a megillah. Okay, and the problem was, it rolled out of your hand, and now you want to be able to retrieve it. So, so you could roll it back up. So even though we'll see exactly in the Gemara what the case is, but your askupa is possibly a Rishos HaYochid or a Kamalist, and it rolled into a Rishos HaRabim, so you're allowed to roll it back up. We'll see the case. So the Mishnah then explains. Let's say I was on top of my roof, which is a Rishos HaYochid. The Skagel was from the other, and it rolled out of my hand. So it depends. If the safer, remember, I'm all the way high up. So if it didn't get in, within 10 tefachim off the ground, meaning we know that above 10 tefachim in a Rishos HaRabim is considered a Mokum Patur. So if it never got within 10 tefachim, so then it's not a problem. Go to the Layat Sloy, you could just roll it back up to where you are. But once it got within 10 tefachim, which means now it's close to the Rishos, it's within the area of the Rishos HaRabim, and we're afraid that you may end up confusing this and pull something out of the Rishos HaRabim, so you can't roll it back up. So you just turn it upside down so that it's not, you know, it's not out there with the print up, which is not appropriate. So you just turn it over because you can't roll it back up. Rabbi Yehuda says, afilo ein mesulakin mesulak v'na aretz el kamale machat. He says, no, even within 10 tefachim off the ground, it's not a problem, as long as it never touched the ground. Even if it's off the ground the size of a needle, meaning it's just literally not touching the ground, so that's not a problem. Go to the way, just you can roll it back up. Not a problem. So Shimon Omer Afilu Ba'aretz Atzmai, even if it's on the ground itself, go to the way. Because Rabbi Shimon says She'en Chodavim Mishum Shvus Omed Bifnei Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, because you're dealing with Davar Shabbat Kedusha, and the Isser at worst is a Shvus, because we're talking about, remember, the case is that I was holding one side of it in my hand all along. I always held on to one side. So even if it rolled into the Rishos HaRabim, part of it was still being maintained in my hand. So it's not like it left the Rishos HaYochid and it's entirely in the Rishos HaRabim. If it did, an object that falls, even in Davar Shabbat Kedusha, if the object falls into the Rishos HaRabim and there's an Issa Deraisa of retrieving it, then you can't do anything about it. I mean, you can turn it over maybe, but you can't literally take it, you know, carry it back up. But here we're talking about, it's only an Issa Derabbanan because I was always holding on to one side of it. So it never left the Rishos HaYochid, and therefore it's only a din Isser Derabbanan at best. And Rav Shimon says, you know what, when you're dealing with the Davar Shabbat Kedusha, we're not going to put the restrictions of the Shvus on it, and we're going to allow you to roll it back up, even if it's literally touching the Rishos HaRabim. Okay, we'll stop over here, and we'll pick up over here in Mitzvah next time.